Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips. It's me, your boy, Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host, Rick Landis. How we doing, good buddy?
It's a loaded question, I'll tell you what. the listeners don't know this. Brian and I had a little bit of an adventure tonight because my car is a piece of garbage. I was driving, and for any of those listeners, I'm sure most of you are from Pennsylvania, you know that potholes are just a part of life at this point. So I hit a pothole, my car started making a bunch of noises, and Brian is my personal mechanic. So I gave him a call, we figured it out, threw some tape on it, we're good to go.
That tape will hold up, baby. It's good. Slap some duct tape on there.
Yeah, so just spending all the money in the world the past few weeks, which I'm not a huge fan of. Sorry for that. It's Cardinals and Rams. But I mean, what are you going to do, you know? Life comes at you fast. Whoever said that money doesn't buy happiness is lying, because I'm extremely stressed out right now and money could solve all of that.
Honestly, yeah. Like,
I mean, I would literally not be stressed at all if I had enough money. So
I've thought about that saying too. And you sit back and you go, you want to know what? About 99% of the problems in my life could be solved with more money.
It had to be a rich person that said it.
It had to have been.
Had to have been a rich person. I don't know who said it first, but whoever said it had to be rich and not known what it's like to not have money.
It was probably just like some hella rich and bored dude who was like, yeah, you want to know what? I don't have any friends because all I talk about is the massive amounts of money I make. Because it doesn't buy happiness.
And like, I'm not asking for Elon Musk money. I don't want that kind of money. I just want like $100,000. If someone were walk up to me right now and be like, here's $100,000, I would be on cloud nine. At least a month.
Be set, honestly. Yeah. 100,000, like you invest some.
Just a little something. Unfortunately, that's not how life works. I've tried the lottery. It doesn't work that way.
Just a small loan of $1 million. That's really all I'm asking for.
Someone give it to me.
It was good. It was good. It was a good adventure. I enjoyed it.
But anyway, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. All things considered. Nothing super negative is going on in my life.
You want to know what?
I don't get the chance to say this too often. Life's pretty good right now.
That's good to hear.
I'm a knock on wood. I'm a knock.
Definitely. I'll knock for you.
So hard on wood.
Would you want to tell the listeners about what you just told me about your new venture?
For those of you that don't necessarily know, I used to play ice hockey, and then my knees decided to obliterate, and there went that. Could have made the league. I played Division II ACHA hockey in college, and it was ugly. But
he was really good.
Is that what that means? It's actually the exact opposite. What that means.
He was the best position in hockey. He was the backup goalie.
Yeah, man. Tell you what. You want to know what? You get all the phone numbers when you're out at the bar.
Yep. It might be better than the backup quarterback. I think you have to play less as the backup goalie than you do as the backup quarterback.
You might. I played in a handful of games, but yeah, definitely played a lot less than I think a backup quarterback might, because the chance of injury is not as drastic.
But you know what you should have done?
What?
As a career option or a partial career option.
Right.
Like a part-time job. You should have become that guy, the emergency goalie.
Oh, the e-bug?
Yeah, one that just sits in the stands, and then like if they need him, they just like call him and he just goes.
So apparently you have to be employed in some facet by that by the building. So every e-bug is
snack guy.
Is usually basically. I'm just gonna be the snack guy.
You're the cotton candy guy.
Especially during COVID times, say both goaltenders go out with COVID protocol the day of the game, and I'm sitting there on the ice. They're playing the Oilers, so I have to stare down Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. No thanks. I'm sick.
Can we just assume that they score a lot of goals?
I mean, they already scored a lot of goals on actually good NHL goaltenders.
That 21-second record for a hat trick would be broken so fast.
Be broken so quickly. I wouldn't even see it either. It'd be like, oh, that went. Okay, that went in. That's crazy.
Connor McDavid would just give you a wrister from the other blue line and just right between your legs.
It's still going in. I wouldn't even see it. But we digress. So I'm joining a inline roller hockey league as a defenseman. It's going to be quite good. For those of you that want to keep track of that, I'll probably do some vlogging on the From the Tips and on the Power Play Instagram. So stay in tune for that as the season goes on. Maybe, just maybe, I might not be complete garbage, but we're going to find out. You know, we're going to know at some point. But that's kind of where my life's at right now. So we're pretty good. But you want to know what? I can't go throughout the rest of my week without knowing what those national holidays for the week are. So please, Rick, do me the favor of telling me what those days are.
Buckle up, get ready to go. Don't buckle up in my car though. today,
it was good.
The day you're listening to this, January 18th, that would be. We're gonna start off with a shout out because it is National Michigan Day.
Woo!
So not much good coming out of Michigan. However, I do know one person from Michigan, and I know he listens to our podcast. So I got to shout out Kirk.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah, Kirk's from Michigan.
He's from Michigan.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
There's no way that man can be that tan. He's from Michigan. I don't believe it.
Well, he lives in Florida now.
Well, I know that, but like from Michigan. Suspect. I'm suspect.
So shout out to Michigan. I don't really know what else they have besides
cold weather and football. Yeah,
cold weather and football, maybe. I don't know. It's also National Fathorith Day. I just like saying it like that.
You got it.
I just like saying it like that. And speaking of the thesaurus, thesaurus. That's the one that gives you all the words, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not the dictionary. It gives you the thesaurus. Gives you, I believe synonyms? It's synonyms, acronyms, and phonetic spelling.
I'm not very good with English.
Thesaurus. A book that lists words and groups of synonyms and related concepts.
Cinnamons,
yes. Cinnamons. It's just a like book grammar full used to of cinnamon. That's all you get is spices.
So January 19th is National Popcorn Day, which is pretty cool. It's
love popcorn.
On the 20th, we're on January 20th now. We have they apparently dedicated a whole day to me.
Right on.
It's National Cheese Lovers Day.
Hell yeah.
Which is huge. I will definitely be eating cheese.
Oh, speaking of which.
What do you got for me this week?
Oh, remember in college when you dipped a block of cheese in queso?
A true visionary of my time.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed in
people,
my life.
People have heard that story and put my name in the same sort of pedestal as like Galileo and
Michelangelo
and those kind of people. Michelangelo,
they
artist.
Love food too. Yeah. They love pizza, we know this.
The one that paints the ceiling. What if I ask you to just get up on the ceiling and paint naked babies? What? That was a How I Met Your Mother reference for those that are wondering. Do not call the cops on me. It's also National Disc Jockey Day on the 20th. So shout out to our main man, DJ Bing, up in the house.
Man, that life Brian. Feels
that's,
so.
That's Brian, for those that don't know.
That life feels so far removed now, like looking back on it. I forget that I was a disc jockey.
I'm never not gonna call you DJ Bing, so you just gonna
it's a great nickname. I'm not even gonna lie to you, it is.
I'm very happy about January 21st because we have apparently Squirrel Appreciation Day.
Hell yeah,
which I think is hilarious. And then January 22nd is where we're gonna finish it off. We have National Blonde Brownie Day. Pretty cool.
Okay.
And then Brian and I are also going to a Wings game with our girlfriends on that day, which is pretty cool. We're going to do our second Wings game of the year. My second Wings game ever. Super excited about it.
They're 3-1 now. They're having a hell of a year.
Yeah. And we're going to be there.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to win more free stuff.
We got to catch more stuff too. We got to get some more WWE Monday Night Raw tickets.
They're just like giving out whatever they can find.
It's just whatever people won't show up to. They just shove tickets into the t-shirts. Oh, you got to love the capitalism there. Oh, all right, Rick, buddy. Thank you for that. For those of you that didn't know, one of the best tournaments to watch that is happened this last weekend. The Sony Open in Hawaii. Absolutely beautiful course at Wailea. And boy, did we have an absolute ripper on Sunday. So I'm not saying the rest of the tournament was boring by any means, but it kind of seemed like all things were kind of written in stone. Russell Henley had a 2-stroke lead heading into Sunday. Then he had a 5-stroke lead after the first nine. He even shot a 29 on the front nine on Sunday. He had an eagle on nine. It looked like Russell Henley had this in the bag. He was going to waltz his way to the trophy. The man, or one of the men from Srixon, Hideki Matsuyama, had other ideas. Now, Hideki was in second at the beginning of Sunday, and he hung with Henley. He shot a 31 on the front on Sunday, or on the shot a 32 on the front on Sunday, 3 birdies, no bogeys, which is good. You know, always good to not bogey, 3 birdies. It keeps him in the hunt. But Henley has that 5-stroke lead. So it's like, what are you going to do? Well, the tires started to fall off for Henley when he bogeyed 11 and went on to par every other hole after that. Now, me saying that is hysterical, considering I'm never going to par that many holes in a row in my life, probably. So he comes with the back nine 36. This is when Hideki Matsuyama decided, you want to know what? I'm just going to win the tournament now. Birdies 10 and 11 to get back. So now he's only down the two. He's down the 2 strokes. 15 birdies. Now he's down 1 stroke. It comes down to 18. If he doesn't birdie, then Henley wins the tournament by 1 stroke. He birdies 18, and now we go into a playoff, right? And we've watched golf playoffs before. We usually see how these things kind of work out or whatever. There's going to be a couple of holes, so on and so forth. Yeah, I don't know if Hideki had plans, but
he had somewhere to be.
He had somewhere to go, apparently, because he made short work of the playoff. It only took one hole because after his drive on the 18th hole,
he ripped that drive.
He ripped the drive and then followed it up with a 277-yard 3-wood that put him to 8 feet.
Nuts.
On the longest par 5 of the course, I believe, is 18. So absolutely shreds this 3-wood. Russell Henley gets on in 3. So regulation, that's fine. But, you know, Hideki's still got 8 feet. It's not the easiest putt ever. But the one thing that you need to know about Hideki is that he's a really good putter. He led the entire tournament with 7 strokes gained putting.
Jeez.
Yeah, he nails the 8-footer for eagle. Russell has no chance of winning it now. They make him play out the rest of the hole because the PGA Tour hates their players, I guess. And he still bogeys, which is really sad.
Oh, that's horrible.
Can't even par.
That's so demoralizing.
It's sad. But Hideki Matsuyama walks away with the championship at the Sony Open in Hawaii. And man, you gotta feel bad for Russell Henley.
Yeah.
That is depressing to say the least. You had a 5-stroke lead with 9 holes to go. You only bogey once, but you par the rest. And Hideki Matsuyama catches up. And then just the most beautiful 3-wood shot I think I've ever seen in my life.
It was so good.
It couldn't have gone better, you know, like the way that he drew it into the hole and it just kind of funneled towards the cup. Just thinking about it makes me want to talk to myself about why I still bother golfing. You know,
what? I don't,
it doesn't get better. It doesn't.
I don't think I'm ever going to hit a 3-wood I mean, period, probably. I'm never going to throw it. I hate hitting threes. But I'm, yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to hit a 3-1 277.
Oh, ever.
Let alone with the pinpoint accuracy to hit it within 8 feet.
Yeah,
that's an insane feat.
That's the disturbing part about it, is the shot hit the green. Now, if you and I hit any sort of low-lofted club and it hits the green, we know it's rolling out the back. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
This thing hits green, jumps once, spins towards the hole. How did you put spin on a 3-wood? How did that happen? That's insane.
That's just how Strixon does it. You know what I mean?
Apparently, the grooves do the work or something, because hot damn.
I mean, there's a reason my man switched.
Yeah, let's put this early season for Strixon into perspective for you. They sign Brooks Koepka. He plays with those clubs in the match against Bryson DeChambeau. Absolutely demolishes Bryson DeChambeau in the match. Second big tournament of the new year. Win. Not just a win, but a win from the guy who just won the Masters with Strixon clubs.
Hideki's good.
He's good. And let's not forget who came in T3. Oh, wrong Irishman. That's on me. Sorry. I was looking at the Irish.
I don't think he did. I'm pretty sure that was our man Kevin.
I was looking at the Irish flag. It's Seamus Power. I thought it was our boy, but it's not. Which is kind of unfortunate.
That's okay. It happens.
Yeah, I got distracted by the Irish flag. Don't judge me. but either way, when it comes to what Hideki did here, it really goes to show that people sleep on Hideki Matsuyama. And I think the reason is because he's not considered a long hitter. He's not somebody that's going to blow you away off the tee. He doesn't have those kind of, I'm not going to say attributes, because obviously he hits the damn thing way farther than I ever will. But, you know, you look at his statistics here, he's 0.7 strokes gained above tour average driving distance. He's exactly tour average driving accuracy. It's his approach and around the green. He has a full 2.5 points above tour average in his approach, and around the green, he has 2. So once he gets there, he's going to get it close, and he's probably going to put it in the hole, especially with how he was putting this last weekend. It was absolutely ridiculous how you can have that much strokes gained over the rest of the field. But what we've come to learn about a lot of these golfers that can, you know, you can kind of consider fringe guys, is they're really freaking good.
Yeah.
And poor Russell Henley. I still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so Russell Henley has 3 combined PGA Tour wins ever. And Hideki has 8 before he's 30. I don't know if you saw the graphic that I shared onto our story, but there's a list. If you go onto our story, it might still be there. The PGA Tour posted it earlier today, of golfers under 30 that have like so many wins or whatever. Because Hideki is now at 8 wins under 30, because he is, how old is he? 29.
Holy hell!
He's at 8 wins. He's like 3rd on the list behind Jordan Spieth and
Justin Thomas.
Which, first of all, Jordan Spieth is 2nd on that list, and he forgot how to play golf for 4 years. So
yeah, that's crazy.
What is going on there? But Hideki is insanely good at golf, which he has 8 wins before 30. And guess what? 2 of them are this year so far. In the 21-22 season, Hideki has 2 wins. He won the Zozo back in October.
Oh, yeah.
And he just won the Masters, and now he just won the Sony. Like, I don't want to say that I think we underestimated him, because I think that we're both fans of him, especially after how things happened with the Masters.
Right.
And
right.
Seeing how happy he was to have won that and everything like that. I don't think either of us like disliked him in any way. And I definitely didn't dislike him, because he's a Strixon guy and I'm always going to support those guys, but he's number 1 in the FedEx Cup rankings right now. He's number 19 in the official world golf rankings, which I can guarantee you.
Oh, he's actually number 10 now.
Is he number 10? Okay, this isn't updated then.
Yep.
And on top of that, his scoring average for the year is 69. So things are going in the right direction for Hideki.
I mean, that's killer.
You're pretty much having the best year you can so far.
He might never lose again. He might just continue to win. No, it's not that like I ever, you know, wasn't rooting for, you know, Hideki or anything like that. It's just he's not one of the guys you immediately think about when it comes to, you know, winning tournaments. But obviously I'm wrong. 8 wins. He's 29 years old. 3rd in that age bracket category. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It seems like it's only going to get better for him. His best season that he's had was 2016-17. He had 3 career wins. We are less than a month into 2022 already, and he already has 2 wins. With how well he's playing, I can only see that going up. He has, in his career, he has 7 second place finishes, 8 third place finishes, and 52 top 10 finishes. We are, like I said, less than a month into the season. He's played 3 tournaments, I believe. Not 3 tournaments. He has 3 top 10 finishes this year so far.
Yeah, he's played 6 tournaments, has won 2.
That's insane. I mean, we talk about John Rahm being the best golfer in the world, and he most definitely is at the moment. He's a stud. Colin Morikawa is usually that number 2 guy.
Yep.
But if this keeps up, we're going to have to start talking about Hideki being number 3, because I know he's not number 3 right now in most people's lists. If he's going to keep showing up like this week in and week out, he's winning at a 33% clip right now.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
If you just take the last 3 weeks or the last 3 times he's played, the Zozo, the Sentry, and the Sony, that's 2 wins out of 3.
Yeah.
That's
mind-boggling numbers.
I mean, you definitely have to start thinking about him as somebody who's in the conversation to be top 5 in the world. Especially if he wins, like, let's say 2 more tournaments this year. They don't even have to be majors. Just 2 more tournaments for 4 wins on the year. Start talking about him at least in the top 10. You could argue top 5, depending on how a lot of those guys' seasons pan out.
Yeah.
But the only thing I'm looking at here, if he figures out, he's golden. In his wins, he's at least had more than a point putting strokes gained above the rest of the field.
Uh-huh.
In every other tournament, he is below. So his putting seems to be maybe what's holding him back. If he figures out that putting and he putts like a specifically how he putted at the Masters. Yeah. Now we got a whole new Hideki, and that is petrifying.
Yeah. I'm really curious, like, what it's like in Japan right now, because I know he's apparently a superstar in Japan.
Oh yeah. He's huge.
And like I said, like I was just saying, like, he's probably not top 3. Like, he's probably not the 3rd best golfer on anybody's list right now. He might be getting there, but he's not right now. And I would be curious to go to Japan and be like, just ask someone about, just literally say Hideki Matsuyama and see what they say.
Especially if they're like a golf fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Hideki's a,
they gotta be loving him now over there.
Oh my God. Absolutely. He just won the Masters. He's coming off 2 wins in the last 3 times he's played. And it's ridiculous. He's only 29, so he's got plenty of career ahead of him. And if he can show up on Sundays like that consistently and specifically putt like that consistently, if he figures that putter out, that's a dangerous, dangerous Hideki. And what I think I like the most about his game is he's not doing what everybody else is trying to do. He's not like, I'm going to crush this ball, get as close to the hole as I can, and we'll figure it out from there. No, he is putting these shots in places that are favorable for his second shot, which arguably sometimes, depending on the course, and especially Augusta, I think is the best strategy you can go for. Yes, Augusta's a short course, but if you put yourself anywhere out of place, you are in jail.
Are you talking yourself into Hideki repeating at the Masters this year? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm talking myself into Hideki Matsuyama repeating at the Masters. Back-to-back green jackets.
I would not be shocked.
I wouldn't either, especially if he keeps playing like he is this year. He was not this hot going into the Masters last year.
No.
He's this hot this year, and it kind of seems like his putting, other than the CJ Cup where things went south very quickly, if he's got his putting figured out, I mean, it's aggressively dangerous, and you got to start right now. He's number 10 in the world golf rankings, and according to datagolf.com, he's number 11 because they have their own little ranking thing or whatever. But man, it's incredible to see kind of a golfer that nobody seems to talk about.
Yeah.
Play as well as Hideki is playing. He's number one in FedEx Cup points, but obviously it's early in the year, as we know. It's like, he's basically, with the two wins, he's given himself, he's probably going to be playing points when the FedEx Cup happens.
I mean, yeah, he has 1,000 points already, and we're in January.
And that's not even including the points that he's going to get from finishing wherever for the rest of the year. I mean, he's already got a T6 and a T13. That's more points.
Yeah, exactly.
He's giving himself the early season advantage of being comfortable enough to where he knows he's going to be in the FedEx Cup final. Right now, it's pick and choose your tournaments to where you think you can get the most points and get the most work in, especially later on in the year where you're trying to find that fine balance of being rested but still being sharp.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see where Hideki is coming down the stretch as we get farther into the season, especially around Masters time and later in the summer when it becomes FedEx Cup playoff time. Quick shout out to Kevin Kisner, T3. Heyo, Kiz, way to go.
That's back-to-back good weeks for him.
That is back-to-back good weeks. He's now 36 in the FedEx Cup points.
Is there a Hawaii tour that Kiz can just play on?
I mean, can he just play strictly Hawaiian courses? It's surprising to me because usually he doesn't leave the East Coast.
Yeah.
He does not like West Coast courses, but hell,
I guess he just wanted
back-to-back in Hawaii. I'll take it. Well, what was he last week? Like sixth?
He was in the top 10 last week, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, let me look here.
I don't remember.
T8.
Though. Yeah.
T8, T3, and these stats are looking pretty.
I mean, he's a fantastic putter, too. Speaking of fantastic putters.
His average is 2 strokes gained over tour average. That's crazy. His driving distance is utter garbage. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a whole point below tour average. He cannot get the ball out there. But his accuracy is good, and that's kind of what matters when you think about it. Hideki, that's a bad man. That's a bad, bad man right now. I'm calling it right now. Back-to-back green jackets. Let's get it.
Okay.
I want it. I think it'll be cool. If he went back-to-back green jacket.
It would definitely be cool.
That would mean so much to Japan as a country, too, because how much of a celebrity he is, that would be so great.
So what I'm going to need here for this season is I'm going to need Hideki to win the green jacket.
Of course.
I'm going to need Brooksy to win the U.S. Open.
Right.
I'm going to need Shane to win the British Open.
Hell yeah.
And then who do I want to win?
You want Colin with another PGA championship in his
pocket? Yeah, let's get Colin back to the PGA.
Yeah, I like that. You want to know what? Fuck it. That's your from the tips prediction of
three for four Strixon gang this year. That'd be insane.
Could you imagine how cool it would be for your boy to win the Open like that? You kidding me?
Yeah, I'm telling you, put your stock in Strixon. It's going up.
Shane Lowry, did he win the Open? What did he win last year? He won something.
He didn't win a major last year. He's won the Open before, though, I think.
He has won the Open before. I don't know, look up major wins. Here we go. He's got 5 professional wins. He won the 2019 Open. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wins another one like that?
Yeah.
I will take it.
I'm there for it.
Did you say therefore?
I said I'm there for it.
Oh, there for it. I thought you said therefore.
And then you thought I was going to continue. More? Yeah. Yeah. No, I had nothing else to say.
See, you know, sometimes we don't always have it. I know that we're pretty much 99.9% always on at all times.
I'm way out of it right now. I'm thinking about money I got to spend. I'm not even Like I'm thinking like I need to win myself an open so that I can afford to pay for my car right now.
Yeah, we gotta get you training, big guy. Right, let's get you that open. Okay,
I gotta spend millions of dollars to get really good at golf in the next few months so that yep. I can have money to spend on a car.
So you can play at the old course this year.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, to move forward away from the Sony, so Netflix has revealed, for its upcoming behind the scenes series. Going to be involving the PGA Tour. Now, their Drive to Survive series for the last three seasons has been about F1. And I've actually watched it, and it was a really good documentary.
I've heard.
I know nothing about F1, but it made me want to know stuff, but I don't care enough.
That's the goal.
I'm not waking up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday to watch cars. I'm sorry, it's just not happening. But their new Drive to Survive series is this driving, quote unquote, which I think is funny. It's going to include 23 participants. Among them are Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Max Homa, Joel Damon, Harry Higgs.
You don't even need to go on.
Damn.
Like, you don't even need to go on.
Damn.
I will say, I'm already upset about this.
Why?
Because there's one guy who isn't in the special. And he made it very clear why he didn't want to be in the special. I don't know if you, did you hear about this?
I think I did, but go on.
About so our not our guy, because we hate him. But the only one person that would probably say these kinds of things, Bryson DeChambeau, is not a part of this Netflix series.
That is true.
And I don't have the direct quote with me right now, but the basic gist of what he said is, I don't want to take any attention away from these other guys that aren't as popular as me, so I'm not going to be on this series. That's basically what he said, or at least that's how I interpreted it. I wish I had the direct quote. I'm going to see if I can find it, because
you know,
I don't understand. Yeah,
you know what, like, sucks about that is I feel like the good person in me feels like he's being genuine, like he genuinely wants.
You want to think he's being genuine,
but I can't believe it entirely. That he's being genuine.
You don't say something like that being genuine.
No.
I'm sorry.
And while you look that up, I have the names of the other guys: Abraham Ancer, Daniel Berger, Cameron Champ, Tony Finau, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia, Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa, Kevin Na, Mito Pereira, Ian Poulter, Xander Schauffele, and Bubba Watson.
That's a squad of guys.
How about those names, man? Woo! How many majors is in this group?
A lot.
There's at least six majors in this group. No, it's seven, because Brooks has three on his own. All right, he actually has two, and I only count the third as the people's major. Right, but hey, whatever. That's insanity. What a lineup there. I do like that they added those guys that are a bit like lesser known, like Mito Pereira and Abraham Ancer, like those guys that are kind of, you know, fringe guys, can win some tournaments here and there. Not always.
I have the exact quote here.
Oh boy.
And it starts off so good. Like, if he could just bite his tongue halfway through this, he would be fine. He says, quote, "There's a lot of great people on there. If I was to go on there, yeah, it would be cool to see, but I feel like there's a lot more interesting stories. You've got Harry Higgs, you've got numerous others." That's it. Stop right there.
Yeah, stop there. You're golden, right there, man.
You're good. Great quote. Unfortunately, he keeps talking.
Damn.
He says, "I don't want to take light away from them for their potential to grow themselves in a manner that's unique to them, where they're already pretty far behind. They have the opportunity to grow a lot more than I do in that regard."
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
You were so close to.
If you just stop talking after Harry Higgs.
No, honestly, Harry Higgs, you could have. He could have stopped talking at when he said they hit their unique way. He could have stopped there.
Yeah, you
that's
can go there.
Golden
too.
Quote.
It's still not bad. Why do you have to say these things?
He runs into so many problems by not shutting up.
Just stop word vomiting. Just
so many of his problems.
Just stop there. Talking to people. Just do your thing.
God.
And He references during this conversation that he has, I don't remember who it's with, but he references during this conversation that he has that people are learning enough about him through his YouTube series that he's doing now. I don't know if you saw that, but he has this YouTube series that he does now.
Where I haven't watched a minute of it, but
I haven't either. I've just seen him post about it, where he like teaches people how to swing or whatever. I don't know. But apparently people are learning enough about him through that, and everybody else is far enough behind him that he doesn't need to worry about doing this Netflix special.
I don't want to give him
what he wants and talk about him, even though he's not a part of it. But I just can't believe that someone would even think that that's an okay thing to say.
He was so close to having a really good quote and making it seem incredibly genuine. And then he had to go saying that he, that these other guys were behind him in that aspect. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know how you're, I don't know how you're expecting people to like you by saying stuff like that, especially when you bring up in the exact quote, you bring up Harry Higgs, who is one of the most likable guys on tour, whether you're from Philly or not. I mean, I know we like him because he's a Philly guy.
Hell yeah. 215 baby.
About the Eagles this week. But like, even if you're not a Philly person, you know who Harry Higgs is, you're still a huge fan of him because he's such a genuine and nice guy. Oh, and to bring up someone like him specifically in this quote and then say that these guys are far behind you is insane. Especially especially when the other people involved in this are significantly better golfers than you. You cannot tell me that the first 10 people that you listed are significantly behind Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, not at all. You kidding?
Not even a little bit. Like, I don't understand where you think this quote makes any sense, Bryson. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, he was so close. I hate it. All right. Oh. However, an exciting thing about this documentary I wanted to let you know about and see what your reaction is. Apparently, according to a tour representative, they have no editorial say. They have no editorial control. So the tour can't come in and fuck it up.
Oh, okay. The tour doesn't.
So according to an unnamed tour spokesman, quote, "We do not have editorial control. We will be involved to the extent that Netflix and the producers have the access they need to film at our events. We want them to make a great show, and we all agree the documentary needs to be as authentic as possible. In addition, the show will have access to all four majors."
That's awesome. This is going to be so good.
I'm so excited to watch this.
This is going to be so good.
I'm so excited to watch this series. Oh my God, this is going to be so cool.
It's going to be really cool to see. Like, I know there's a few guys on that list that like we don't really know a lot about or like aren't necessarily huge fans of.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly the list of names that you listed off, but I'm sure there's a few that you could name right now that,
I mean, you could specifically reference Mito Pereira. I know nothing about him.
Who is that?
Zero.
Like,
exactly.
We're going to learn a lot about these guys, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of new fans for these people. And I'm excited for the guys on this show, the guys that are already, quote, ahead of Bryson, and quote, the ones unquote, that are, quote, behind Bryson. I'm excited for all of them. It's going to be great. It's going to shed a lot of light onto golf itself, and I think it's going to be huge for making golf more popular because I heard, like you said about the F1 thing, so many people were like, well, now I just want to watch F1 because this just seems so cool.
Yeah.
And I think the exact same thing is going to happen with golf because people are going to realize how cool golf actually is when they do this, especially if the PGA Tour doesn't have any say. So if the PGA Tour had say, it would totally crash and burn.
No, it would ruin it. It would absolutely ruin it. Because as we know, the tour likes to ruin their own product, much like baseball in that kind of sense. The F1 season after the first season of Drive to Survive, the F1 series, they saw an increase of 1,000% in American views.
That's insane.
And that's people in America waking up at 6 a.m. to watch European car racing, basically. That's
insane.
Can you imagine that kind of bump for the PGA? You got more people coming to events now because they like the guys. They're into the personalities that you need to let shine for once. We won't even get into that. But let these personalities shine on this show. Let the intensity of major golf shine on this show. It's gonna be the pandemic golf boom 2.0.
Yeah, and do it good. Do it without the PGA Tour
putting their
input in. Right. And then when you do it good and when the PGA Tour has an increase of 1,000% on their views, do it again with the LPGA Tour.
Yes. Oh, that is a fantastic idea. Yes. 1000% yes.
Just an idea, Netflix.
That is an incredible idea. Yes.
Because
yes,
I would watch yes. that. I would watch that so fast.
If oh, they did that God, with the LPGA that would be tour. So cool.
Yeah.
Damn. That is a great thought. That's a great Thank thought.
You. I do appreciate the compliment.
That would be really cool. Shit. All right. Well, yeah, this is going to be a super cool documentary. Real quick note here before we get into the American Express power rankings. Kevin Kisner ended up criticizing the Ryder Cup selection process. Here's what he said. I had the quote here. It was here. Where the hell to go? Damn it. Okay. When he was asked, he said, quote, "I don't know, man. They don't like me, I guess. I don't know. I don't give a shit. It's too political for me. I didn't really care, and I didn't really get caught up in that shit. I love Stricker to death, but he didn't pick me this year, which I get. I didn't play worth shit in the playoff." So it didn't seem like he was all that perturbed. About all the cussing there, but that's, you know, that's kids for you.
Direct quote. Nothing you can do about it.
What do you think about the Ryder Cup selection process being, quote, too political? You know, to me, he makes a point. He was not very good last year. You know, like, all things considered.
It's like, I love the Ryder Cup. It's great to watch. It's great to see guys like Scottie Scheffler take on Jon Rahm, things like that. But it's way too much elementary school kickball picking teams issue kind of deal.
Right.
It's not that big a deal.
No.
If you want to be on the Ryder Cup team, fine. Kiz doesn't sound like he could give another shit about being on
Does
the Ryder
not
Cup
sound
team.
Like it at all.
I think it was kind of a forced issue by the guys at 4Play, who are obviously big friends
the
with
big
Kevin
guys,
Kisner.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was a huge issue just forced because of them that now Kiz is having to deal with these questions because people think that he had anything to do with that when he really didn't. And Kiz doesn't care. Kiz doesn't
no,
care.
No, he really doesn't.
He's just happy to be there. That's literally all it is. Like,
right.
If you ask him at any given week, he doesn't expect to win the tournament. He's right. just there to, I mean, obviously he's been playing really well the past few weeks, so maybe he's mm-hmm. getting some confidence, but like, he's fine with a 20th place every week. He's totally okay with that.
And, oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I like if nothing was said about him not being on the Ryder Cup team, nothing like this wouldn't be happening right now. I think it's just too much. Like I said, elementary school picking teams and someone gets their feelings hurt. And it's just not important. It's way less than everybody makes it seem.
To me, it's more, I think, in Stricker's head, he had the top guys of the tour in his head.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, kids, you just weren't one of them this year, buddy. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I mean, the tour was stacked last year.
It was so yeah. stacked.
Like, you can't be mad at Steve for not picking you if you're Kevin Kisner.
You could be mad if, you know, the United States got smoked by yeah. Europe. But the United States,
even
Europe,
then,
so.
I don't think you can be mad. You can't tell me that Colin Morikawa wasn't better than Kevin Kisner last year. That Scottie Scheffler wasn't better than Kevin Kisner last year. That Justin Thomas wasn't better. Like, literally any guy on that Ryder Cup team, you can't tell me that Kisner was better than him.
No, not one.
You wouldn't be able to convince me on any of them.
The only person I think that people would try to argue is Daniel Berger.
Yeah, and you still couldn't convince me.
You couldn't convince me either because he had quite a season last year.
Yeah,
so
no way you're convincing me.
It really doesn't sound to me that Kevin Kisner cares all that much, but it's just being talked about on Twitter and people are putting in their two cents, which doesn't really matter. But either way. all righty. So we actually have the return of the LPGA this week, as well as they will have Ooh. Their Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions, which is the same format as the PGA Tour Tournament of Champions, where all of last year's winners are going to get together in the first tournament of the year showdown.
Love it.
And absolutely throw down some champions, both quarter sisters, you name it. It's going to be there. That's going to be some really great golf.
See, this is what I'm saying. We need a Netflix documentary on this.
Exactly. Completely agree. Huge. There's so many things the LPGA Tour and the PGA Tour could do together and it frustrates the living hell out of us that they don't. But we will continue to try and champion that to happen. Eventually, someone's got to listen, right? I mean,
someone's going to hear us at some point.
Somebody. We know these guys listen. I mean, Colin Morikawa looked Rick in the face and said, slap, I'm going to win anyways. So I think he did that twice.
You can't tell me that that's not the reason he won that week.
He was driven with the hatred to win. But we move forward to this week's. Not next week's. This week's PGA Tour stop, the American Express. Always a good one. We got some returning guys here. Rick, I'm going to give you the top five in no specific order. I'm going to need you to scramble them and give me the order. Here we go.
Do my best.
Scottie Scheffler.
Yes.
Sung J M.
Oh.
Patrick Cantlay.
What a field.
John Rahm. And Matthew Wolff. I made the same face when I read his name.
I would assume he's at five.
No.
He's not.
Yeah.
Okay. Five will go. Who just did that? OBJ's having a day. I'll go Sungjae.
Sungjae at number five.
Scotty's at number four.
Scotty is at number four.
Is Matty Wolff at three?
Matty Wolff was at three.
And then who is it? Patrick Cantlay and John Rahm?
Yes.
I'll go John Rahm 2, Patrick Cantlay 1.
Nah, you got to trust your gut. Ah! John Rahm 1, Patrick Cantlay 2.
Reverse psychology. Got me.
Ah, you
got
to trust your gut there, buddy. Yes, that is the
I was
order.
Like, John Rahm's got to be 1. And I was like, no, there's no way.
No, they wouldn't do it.
It's too easy.
Rick was trying to think of how idiotic the PGAtour.com writers have been all season. And he was like, they wouldn't do it. They're scared.
No way.
Yeah, so he won. John Rahm won this tournament in 2018. So that's kind of the reason that he gets the number one nod. It says here about Sungjae Im, number five. He finally missed his latest cut at YLA. So he's extra rested for his fourth straight appearance at PGA West. T12, T10, T12. Open 2022 with a T8 at Kapalua, the man who never stops golfing, Sungjae Im himself. Scottie Scheffler, number four, arguably the tour's best talent without a victory, debuted with a solo third here in 2020. More recently, he hung up a fourth at Mayakoba, a T2 at Houston, and a solo second in the fall. So he's having quite the fall so far. So let's see if he turns it around in the winter here. Number three, Matthew Wolff. This one perplexed me, but
yeah,
here's what it says here. As the season concludes its first quarter, he leads the PGA Tour in adjusted scoring thanks to a 4-for-4 in the fall, punctuated by a runner-up at the Shriners and a T5 at Mayakoba. Now, yes, he's having a very good year so far, but Matthew Wolff scares me. I don't know if it's – I'm not going to say he's immature, obviously, but – there's definitely an air of immaturity sometimes to his game.
Yeah. I think the big thing there's two guys this year that we have to look at and take what happens with them week in and week out with kind of a grain of salt. And that's Jordan Spieth and Matthew Wolff, because they're both, I mean, Jordan Spieth started a little bit earlier with his comeback, but he also had 4 years where he just forgot how to golf.
Yeah.
So I think those two guys this year, unless they rip off like five wins, I think we got to take everything that they do and everything that's said about them with kind of a grain of salt until we see what's actually going on. Like I said, if Jordan Spieth or Matthew Wolff comes out and rips off five wins, then yeah, we can obviously talk about them being right back as a better golfer than they were last year, or the past 5 years for Jordan Spieth. But I mean, I'm here for it. I would like to see Matthew Wolff win. He's a great golfer. And I think a lot of it just comes down to him getting to the maturity level of being able to handle the pressure of the PGA Tour.
Right. And I think he has it in him. I'm just interested to see how this season goes for him, especially after the year he had last year.
Yeah.
Number two, Patrick Cantlay, obviously last year's FedEx Cup winner. All he did last year was close out a solo second with a course record 61 on the stadium course, T9 in previous trip in 2019, and extended break with a solo fourth at Kapalua 2 weeks ago. Patrick Cantlay is going to be doing Patty Ice things and absolutely just being a fantastic golfer. And number one, John Rahm. It'd be a surprise if the world's top ranked talent wasn't slotted here. Turned the page on 2021 with a close call at Kapalua, where he led the field in greens and regulation and proximity, winner here in 2018. Yeah, that John Rahm pick makes sense to me.
I can't. John Rahm. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he ended up winning this week.
It's John Rahm, man. What are you going to do?
Yeah, he's the best golfer in the world. There's no way around it.
All right, good buddy. Unless you have anything else PGA news-wise, we move forward into the two-man scramble.
That sounds good to me.
All righty, let's do it. We got three questions from fans this week. Thanks so much, guys. All righty. So, first question. Golf objective for the offseason, as it is the middle of winter here in the northeast of the United States. So it is definitely the offseason. Rick, what would be your golf objective during the offseason?
Honestly, I haven't really thought about it. I've had a lot of stuff going on
recently,
so I haven't really thought about it. I guess my objective would be to roll some putts. Yeah. My putting last year kind of fell off from what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to get back to the point where I'm one of the better putters in our groups of people that we go out with.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I have something to say that I'm kind of the guy to go to, you know what I mean? So I might have to set up the tape in my room again and just roll some putts every once in a while, just kind of get the feel back with my putter.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
I mean, it's tough to get out there and actually hit like drives and wedges and irons and stuff like that. So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
That's true. For my goal, I think I'm just trying to be comfortable with my driver again. I've had the driver in timeout for a bit here and have used hybrids out of the tee box because they always go somewhere I can find it instead of the driver where, you know, God only knows. So I'd like to become comfortable with the driver again, get a feel for that just so I can get some of that added distance out of the tee box. Yeah. But it's good to have that be my only goal because my short game is still pretty good. Can't putt worth a shit, but I don't think I'm ever going to figure that out. So we're just going to have to let that
I need to figure out my approach shots at some point, but that's just a whole nother issue there.
Yeah, it's a whole nother bag.
Like my drives have been good. My putting's been pretty decent around the greens. I've been okay, but anything that's considered an approach shot, I just haven't been able to do. And I think you just got to
hone in those distances. I think that's where you struggle mainly is honing in those distances and hitting greens.
Yeah, hitting the ball straight too. Well, I think the main issue for me with my approach shots is I don't like to take my time. I don't like to be that guy that's like taking a million years to figure out how to swing. And like I almost never have a flat lie because I almost never hit it in the fairway. But I'm usually like in an okay spot, but the ball is either above or below my feet. And I just like, I can't figure out where to be gripping the club in order to get it where I want it to go. And it's just something that I actually got to get out and practice and work on.
But right.
Unfortunately, golf is a pretty expensive sport and I don't have a lot of money.
True. So that is true.
Going back to our, I need some money to be happy kind of deal.
Yeah. A lot more money would be very helpful now.
I could golf comfortably once or twice a week.
It'd be lovely.
A lot better off.
It would be lovely.
Can't afford it.
All right. We move to our next question here. Best beers to crush during a round. So I guess I'll take this one away.
Anything light.
For me, it depends. It depends on what I'm trying to get after here. If I need to stay relatively sober, good old Miller Lights, that'll get the job done. If I'm trying to get bone hammered and like the rest of my night is continuing to get bone hammered, we'll throw a little transfusion in there. Really, really brightens up your day. Get some vodka in you. Feel good.
That's not a beer.
Oh shit. It's not a beer. All right. Well, hold on. Now I got to think.
I don't really drink, but I would say definitely keep it light. That's pretty much all there is to it. You're not going to go out to a 95 degree round of golf and start crushing Yinglings and Guinness. You're going to want like a Natty or a Miller or a Bud, like something light that's not going to sit heavy.
And you want to know what? I don't know if they consider this a beer or not, but I think it's a game changer. Seltzers. That is a whole golf.
They're popular.
That's a whole golf course game changer right there.
Yeah.
Is a good Bud Light seltzer.
I would say if you ask anybody, if you ask 10 people what their golf course choice drink is, probably 9 out of 10 of them are going to tell you seltzers.
It changes the whole game because, no, it's not hydrating, obviously. I know that. But it's so bright and refreshing. You don't get that, like, mid-round, like, oh, I'm kind of, like, heavy hammered right now. You know, you're still, like, awake and alive. And, yeah, you're drunk, but you're alert. You know, it's an interesting thing. I know way too much about drinking. I digress. To our last question here. This one's interesting because I feel like two of the answers are easy and the third one's hard. Top three golfers that you can chirp all day and not get tired of it. One and two for me are Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau. Easy.
Yeah, I think those are gimmies.
Those are easy 1-2s. That's an easy 1-2 punch. The third one is where I kind of run into some trouble.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anybody else that I really dislike to the extent of. I don't even think I'd be able to chirp them all day. I just get bored. There's only so many times you can tell Bryson that he's tiny, and so many times you can tell that he placed his ball where
he moved it.
Yeah, like there's only so many times you can say those things, and like we hate on them all the time because they're not great people. Oh, yeah. But there is like a very finite amount of things that you would be able to chirp them for before it would start to get old.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna adjust the question, which I usually do, top three golfers that you could chirp for the longest is what I'm going to change it to, just because all day is a little bit excessive. Like if I was at a tournament, I'm not following Bryson and Patrick Reed and chirping them for 18 holes. No. One, because there's other guys I want to see play golf more than I want to see them play golf. And it's 1,000%. Just not worth it to be fucking doing that.
Not even kind
of. So yeah, I'll go them two first, obviously. And then I don't even know. Do you have someone? Did you think of anyone for the third one?
I'm kind of adjusting it. The third person is somebody I can chirp who will find it funny.
Okay.
Like kind of like a give and take type of deal.
Okay.
And I'm going Shane Lowry. Okay. I feel like you could joke and chirp with that man all day long and it would just be a great round of golf.
You probably could.
It'd be a lot of fun. Special follow-up, Harry Higgs.
I was going to say Harry Higgs might be a good one.
Oh yeah.
For that point too. I don't even know. I got a
tough question.
Else.
I'll tell you what. It's a tough question.
Maybe Phil Mickelson.
Oh, he'd that'd
give
be
it
fun.
Back to you. He'd probably
because
give it back
he would
to
give
bit.
It back to you. That'd be fun.
But yeah, I mean, there's surprisingly enough, there's only two golfers that I really dislike enough that I would want to chirp them all day.
I feel you. You know who I'd be scared to chirp?
Who?
Brooks Koepka. I'm afraid of what he would say back. Like, he would be like, and he
you
would like
it
call.
Personal.
He would make it personal.
He would definitely make it personal.
He'd say something about like the outfit I'm wearing that day, and I'd feel insecure for the next 24 hours. You know, like I'd be like, why did you have to say that, man?
You'd be like, hey, Brooks, good shot back there. Like all sarcastically, you'd be like, your dog doesn't love you.
And you're like, oh, no.
Oh, like that's what I feel like would happen with Brooks, which like I'm fine with as long as that's not me.
That's terrible. Oh my god. Could you imagine a grown man turning around and just saying your dog doesn't love you and walk away?
What do you have to say to someone for them to say that to you? Bad do you have to say something?
I feel like you gotta like burn their house down like on purpose or something.
Yeah, you gotta
do
something.
You gotta do something savage for somebody to look you in your optic stems and tell you your dog doesn't love you. That is a form of hurt that I don't think I would put on my worst
emotional damage.
Emotional damage. Oh my god. All right, buddy, unless you got anything else, that'll do it for this episode.
That is it.
All righty. Sounds good. Thank you, as always, for listening to From the Tips. We always appreciate you guys listening and following us on Instagram @From the Tips_pod. Go ahead and follow us there. And go ahead and listen to some of our old stuff. Sure, it's in the past, but it's still good stuff. We're always going to have content pumping out. Just stay in tune on the Instagram. We got cool stuff that we post. Sometimes we do giveaways. We don't know when the next one of those is going to be. But as always, thank you so much for listening, and we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.